Skylar Peters in for Richard Kluche, Julie Buckingham alongside. Taking a look at the emoji keyboard on my phone right now. What do you think the most commonly used one by Skylar Peters is? This is on my personal phone.
On
is
your personal
the same, it's the same on both.
Okay, I'm betting it thumbs up.
Laughing face. Thumbs up's actually, oh, it's like way down the list.
Really?
Then the grimace, the like baring your teeth one.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Then the okay, the perfecto.
Yep.
And then the hard eyes.
Okay.
So this is good. I thought it was going to be worse than this. Those are my top four. Do you dare utter what yours are?
I think this is like not a good example that's typical. As I was talking, we have family that we care so much about. Originally from Haiti, we're in the Dominican Republic, and they have little kids. So I sent like a kiss to the kids. So I wouldn't mm-hmm. normally use that one. And I have like the Groucho Marx face. Like this isn't, that's not normal for me. Normal for me is probably the wink, blowing a kiss, yep. Thumbs up, probably the grimace, laughing. Those are like,
okay. We're pretty, pretty G-rated around here.
That's oh good. Gosh, yes.
It's World Emoji Day. And I don't know at what point emojis came into our lives. It's been the better part of a decade for sure. But it's used in probably most of the conversations if you were to go down your text line. And they're coming with real-world consequences now. A story on globalnews.ca posted July 7th. Judge gives emoji use of the thumbs up as the way of accepting a contract. A Saskatchewan judge says a farmer has been ordered to pay more than $82,000 because he didn't deliver product to a grain buyer, but he agreed to a contract with the emoji thumbs up. 5 years ago, our next guest wrote a paper outlining how legal experts would have to prepare. You know, you have forensic experts, blood spatter, collision reconstructionists. We need emoji experts now. Elizabeth Curley is a lawyer at Professor Osgoode Hall Law School in Toronto at York University and joins us now on the phone on 680 CJOB. Professor Curley, good to talk to you. Thanks for being here this afternoon.
Oh, happy emoji day.
happy emoji day to you. I replied to one of your text messages with, indeed, a thumbs up.
Because and she's here, so everyone was on the same page on that one.
You wrote about this 5 years ago, saying that we needed these experts, and I'm thinking it's only become more complex because, you know, even 5 years ago, if you sent, like, the fire, like it's lit, you probably meant fire, and now it means more than that. And I don't think that people often think about the multiple meanings that are going into emojis, and that could cause problems in the legal system, could it not?
Absolutely. I think that's why the Saskatchewan judge just went beyond. You know, he pushed the limits and said, look, the facts are actually that the parties had used texting and they had used a few emoji in the past in their transactions. And so he said, you know, he didn't say these words, but he said, I think you're trying to get out of a contract to the one party. And I think the reason you're trying to get out of the contract is that there's a difference in price. When you originally talked about this contract, flaxseed was at something like $17 a bushel. And by the time it rolled around to November with the delivery date, the price was up to $41 a bushel. So that was, I think, a big factor as well. But you're right. More than that, the judge was tuned in to other judgments in Western democratic states that are recognizing that a single emoji without any text can convey a message and can be that binding.
And like the thousands of words we use every day, Professor Curley, one thing I didn't realize until reading this story when it first came across my desk last week is that emojis are defined. They have a definition, and the judge pointed to a dictionary.com definition of the thumbs up emoji. So I guess if you ever were kind of on the fence at, you know, wondering what this particular emoji means, you can kind of look it up and get a straight answer.
Absolutely. By the way, call me Elizabeth. The site that he referred to is called Emojipedia, put together by an Australian. But there's also a charitable organization that meets in California, and they take submissions, graphic submissions on what emoji are meet certain criteria as being very communicative. and they eventually get those put onto your devices, to the key, the keyboard of your devices. So those are linked to this consortium. They, if you go to their website, Unicode Consortium, they list every emoji that's been approved by them, and they give them a name and a number, but a name, yes, absolutely.
So when you wrote about this saying, listen, there needs to be a way, essentially, to, I don't know if you, how you recognize someone as being an emoji expert that could testify in court, to untangle this for the legal system, whether it be the lawyers and the judge and a jury, has there been any movement on that in the past 5 years? Because the use of emojis, even from 2018 to now, I'm sure is 10 times the amount it was then.
Absolutely. I don't have a number, but absolutely. Yes, I have given talks to groups of judges in the United States and in Canada. And in Australia, they seem to be very keen about this idea that a court could use an expert, excuse me, just as Skylar said, a reconstruction expert in a court. So why not? I mean, the issue is, You don't have a lot of clues with that face, except that it's happy. It's a Bart yellow, we call it. So it's sort of neutral in terms of a message as to race, culture, and so on. So why not call in an expert? Because there are people like myself who study these. We've written three articles on this, and they're long. There's a lot of research.
So, and I would think, just like language, I mean, if I'm speaking to you, I could say to you, yeah, right, Elizabeth. And you can you can get the intonation, you could get the sarcasm from that. And sometime, you know, Skylar could, you know, text me something and I could be giving him a thumbs up. But that could really be a sarcastic thumbs up. And so there really is, like language, there's going to be an evolution of the emoji, is there not?
Absolutely. Any language, whether it's cursive writing or you know, verbal or written language, has a shorter shelf life. It's organic. It changes. So, for example, I believe, Julie, you mentioned that a winky face is one of your preferred emoji. So there's two, when I wrote these articles, there were two emoji that are looked at as what we call modifiers. There are more, but these two. If you write a message to Skylar and you say, after work, drink, and then a little winky face, what do you think that does to your message?
Oh, that changes the tone, I'm guessing.
And it's more positive, or a little bit, are you backpedaling?
Well, I guess it would depend on what had happened during the day at work. But I mean, on the surface, if somebody looked at that communication, they could think it's inappropriate.
Mm-hmm. Very true. In a working context, you're absolutely right. You know? And so, yes, a winky face is, we say it's a modifier because you've put that message out there, let's go for a drink, but then maybe second thoughts, or you think, whoops, this is a work environment. So winky face, maybe three. Faces. Another one is a tongue out of the side of the mouth of an emoji face is sort of a, I'm just kidding, or, you know, take it or leave it, you know, it's not a big deal to me. So I was reading actually about a week ago that there's a new combination out for, preferred by younger people who are texting to someone that they're interested in meeting. And it's sort of two fingers. It's hand signals, two fingers pointing at each other. And as far as I can tell from what I'm reading, that is a similar modifier. It's saying I'm too embarrassed or shy to send this message without sort of, you know, giving a nuance or sort of, you know, couching it in this
I could be saying to Skylar, you know, if he said, you know, you wanted to go for a drink, my winky face, then I could at least say, oh, I was only kidding.
Like, and then you could put the monkey covering your eyes or something like that. Yeah. But one more before we let you go, Elizabeth. Bottom line, the last like 10 or so years since kind of this advent of emojis, do you think communication digitally at least has benefited from it, or has it gone backwards, or maybe not?
I think it's only good news. I mean, it can be misused by the criminal element, the dark net, gangs, so on. But for regular communication, it's fast. Not only that, it crosses language barriers. Maybe I don't speak English, you don't speak French, so we send an emoji. At least that's a start. And I think it's helpful to children who have learning disabilities and they can't express how they feel. You know, let's say they go to the hospital and the nurse can come in and say, point to which one of these faces you are feeling right now. I think that's fabulous, right? We're moving ahead, in my view.
Can't wait till you're on Forensic Files so we can say, we talked to Elizabeth when she wanted to be an emoji expert in court. Thanks for doing this.
Oh, my pleasure. Take care.
Elizabeth Curley is a lawyer and a professor at Osgoode Hall Law School at York University, where we found her winky face in Toronto.
Canada may be known for its landscapes and friendly people, but beneath the surface lies a darker side of crime, history, and the paranormal. Since 2017, the award-winning Dark Poutine podcast has explored the shadowy corners of the Great White North and beyond, delivering chilling tales from a uniquely Canadian perspective. Hosted by Mike Brown and Matthew Stockton, with over 300 episodes and fresh releases every Monday, Dark Poutine is your weekly ticket to the creepier side of Canada. Listen to Dark Poutine on Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts.